I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, third hour, Tiki and Tierney coming live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way, providing a seamless mortgage experience.
What's that, Scott Boras?
Oh, I love seeing LeBron get stoned at the rim. Get that out.
I thought you were talking about Bryce Harper. I'm just looking at pictures of Bryce Harper. Sad face.
Just Bryce random Harper. Pictures of Bryce?
No, just like on all the news, because it just hasn't happened yet, man.
Welcome to opening day here. New York Mets take on Philadelphia Phillies in the first pitch from DeGrom, and then they start talking about why Harper's not signed.
Anywhere.
It's crazy. Ridiculous.
It has to happen.
Soon. It's going to happen, but it's such an embarrassment for baseball. We've talked about this periodically. It's ridiculous. Speaking of baseball here, Teague, we get a chance to talk a little bit about, you know, we talk so much about Jackie Robinson, and rightfully so, of course. How about Frank Robinson? Frank Robinson passed away today, and we touched this briefly in the first hour. Bone cancer at the age of 83, sadly, just a couple days after Hank Aaron celebrated his 85th birthday, from the same generation, obviously. You know, and Frank Robinson, all this, you know, there's the baseball element, just a great hitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, and those ballparks were so big back then. So cavernous, you know, the first African-American manager in 1974. And
it's funny because I remember him more from this look as manager.
Oh, me too.
I didn't see him play. And I don't ever remember, like, seeing highlights of him play.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I don't have a recollection of him. But I do remember
seeing them your entire childhood.
The Orioles are, you know, not that far from where we grew up in Baltimore, from Southwest Virginia.
You think you would have been a Nationals fan now? This is a quick aside. If you
probably,
and Ron, they were growing up now.
Probably.
Nationals?
Probably. Because it's only 4 hours away. Okay. Even though Baltimore is only five and a half hours away. But
Nationals are better. If you're like the new kids now, you would have gravitated toward the better team, the Nationals.
It's because the highlights that they were just showing on CBS Sports Network were all of him in a manager's jacket, you know, and as he's standing on the steps, and that's what I remember him as. I'm sure as a player, you know, the images were amazing as well, but I don't remember any of them.
Well, there's a moonshot for you. There's a bomb to the left center gap. Yeah, you're right, though. I mean, he wasn't a man who, listening to old interviews, he wasn't a man of unnecessary words. Mm-hmm. He was economical with his words. And, you know, we kind of tapped and probably stumbled into it when we discussed Frank a little bit earlier. You know, it seems like so many of those players from that generation, even like Oscar Robertson now, like you look at royalty from all the sports, you know, Bill Russell, there's just...
They have a similar demeanor, like a look and demeanor.
Yeah, and it's a seriousness that was sadly born from maybe not always, not trusting their place in the world, let alone the sporting world.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a general distrust and a general distaste for a lot of people. So they kind of kept their thoughts to themselves, and I would have done the same thing.
I think you have to.
I would have.
And then the only thing you could do to, I don't know, show yourself was to be great.
Yeah.
Right? And so it was probably an internal drive, like an extra drive. We always talk about the chip on the shoulder that some guys have. Mm-hmm. I didn't get drafted high enough. I didn't do whatever. I came from this place or whatever it may have been. That was their chip. His chip was, you know what? These people don't like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with my ability or the team I play for.
Yeah. Well, without getting too serious, I mean, it's hard not to when you start getting into this area. But it wasn't even so much they don't like me. It's they don't view me as equal.
Mm. Yes.
That's far worse,
as we
know. But, you know, what a life. 83, wins the Rookie of the Year, wins the MVP in each league. You know, the stats are the stats. But, and I, hey, Mike, do me a favor. Just pull up a list of, just do a quick Google search for us, best baseball players of all time. Just start rifling through some names. Because I don't think, you know, Frank is one of, maybe because he was quiet, and maybe because some of the markets he played in, Although Baltimore was really good for a long time.
Cincinnati, I mean, was it then?
Smaller. I mean, but you had the big red machine. They get their due in the mid-70s.
That's true.
Johnny Bench, Pete Rose, those guys. To me, Frank Robinson, again, without having seen him play but knowing the sport, I mean, how is Frank Robinson not one of the 25 best baseball players of all time? I mean, Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, Ty Cobb, Cy Young, Stan Musial. You got to throw a few modern names in there, whether it's a Maddox, whether it's a Seaver, whether it's a Clemens, Ricky Henderson, greatest leadoff hitter of all time. You know, whether it's a pure Tony Gwynn, Ted Williams. I mean, I'm just rifling through names here. I'm going to forget a bunch, but, I mean, this guy was unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Yeah, I wish I knew his stats.
Almost 2,000 RBIs. Yeah, I didn't even say Hank Aaron. Geez, shame on me. Mike, do you have any other names that I that may have obviously unintentionally omitted? What do you got there? Just rip through some.
You got Babe Ruth, you got Willie Mays, you got Hank Aaron, Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Ty Cobb.
Didn't say DiMaggio.
Lou Gehrig, Walter Johnson, if you want to go old school,
the big
Cy
train.
Young.
Yep, I said Cy.
Hornsby, Stan Musial.
Hornsby.
Let's see.
Said Musial.
Tris Speaker, Roger Clemens, Greg Maddux. What else we got? Christy Mathewson, Randy Johnson, A-Rod, if you want to go that route. Eddie Collins. Ricky Henderson, maybe.
Yeah, I said Ricky,
Jimmy Fox, Mel Ott.
Mel Ott, Jimmy Fox,
Sandy
great names.
Sandy Koufax, Pedro Martinez, Frank Robinson, Jackie Robinson, Pete Rose, Cal Ripken, Nolan Ryan.
Oh, it's alphabetical.
No, I'm just going through a
He's
list
just
of
ripping
names.
Through some
I'm
names.
I'm just going through names. The one Ken thing Griffey, Bob Gibson, Josh Gibson, and my guy Roberto Clemente.
Well, if you throw Josh Gibson, you got to throw Cool Papa Bell in there. And some of the
Satchel,
other,
of
some
course.
Of the other, Satchel Paige, some of the other Negro League players. You know, listen, it's the height of subjectivity to construct a list and try to determine where Frank Robinson. That's not even the point. At the end of the day, who cares? It's celebrating an incredible life. And, you know, it's easy for you and I to sit here in the year 2019 and try to put ourselves in his seat. You know, 1974 is when the Indians decided to give the reins to the first African-American manager.
Yeah.
Who, couldn't have been easy, man.
Who followed him? What was how soon was the next minority
I think it was
manager?
I think it was Larry Doby. I know Larry Doby was the first black player in the American League after Jackie.
No, I'm talking about
as a manager.
As a manager.
I believe it was Larry Doby as well. I believe.
How soon after? Because think about how odd
a
that is.
A couple of years. I'm gonna say 77. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
that's just somewhat of an educated guess, but I haven't. That, I'd be lying if I said I studied that aspect.
Yeah,
like the path of managers based on race.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't really, and maybe I should. Maybe I'm gonna do that at some point on my own.
Well, I mean, it gives you license when you celebrate the life and career of a guy like a great man like Frank Robinson. I should say to go back and rediscover history. You know, sometimes you just don't; those parts of history don't strike you or don't cross your path, so you don't follow them. And this gives you reason to do that.
No, there's no question, Mike. So it was 1978, not 77.
Yes, the White Sox,
Larry
second
Doby.
Black manager in the majors behind Robinson.
It was Doby.
It was Larry Doby. Yeah, what I say, 77. So four years after Frank Robinson. Is there a way? Because I'd love to hear, you know, he was very terse and he was very, you know, again, economical with his words. And we probably explained why. Can you find, Mike, I'll give you a little bit to find. Can you find a clip? Like, well, there's clips of Lasorda going nuts post-game, you know, dropping F-bombs. Our buddy Tommy Lasorda, he called you Kiki.
Yeah.
He kept calling Tiki,
hey,
Kiki.
Kiki. He called us both that, though.
Yeah, every time I asked a question, we sound nothing alike. And our cadence, just everything about us is completely different. He kept calling you Kiki, and he kept calling me Kiki.
You're right.
Kiki.
He was great, though.
Yeah, he was. Oh, that was a great interview. We had him on a few times. But can you see if you can find some sort of post-game, not so much when he was a player, when he was a manager? Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear if he had a boiling point moment or a real poignant or a real pivotal moment. The Indians weren't good then, so I know it wasn't a playoff game or anything like
Doby
that.
Doby or Robinson?
Frank Robinson, if you could find. I'd love to hear it, just to give the audience a little treat with that. Because as much as you hear, and again, you kind of cherry-pick the great names in baseball history, I feel like even the fringe fans, you know, you have a real familiarity with Babe Ruth and a real familiar Mickey Mantle with that draw from Oklahoma. And even, you know, I feel like people don't really know what Frank Robinson sounds like.
Because he didn't speak a lot, I don't think. And even in later.
But he was in the league office for a long time.
True.
You know, I mean, but yeah, no, I mean, I'm saying I know, but I think a lot of people don't know. And I don't even know that I know the way I want to know. I want to hear Frank again.
Yeah.
We got to get Frank a good soundbite on the show here. But as Mike is looking for that, rest in peace. And go look at his numbers. We always talk about bold and italics when you go to one of these reference.coms. I mean, good God almighty. This guy's, I mean, his OPS, 1, 2, 3, 3 years in a row, it's well over 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a couple in the mid-9s, and he goes right back to over 1,000, then to 979. I mean, that's one of the stats that really jumped out to me when I was looking it up when I came into the studio, too, when I found out that he passed here. You know, I knew he had almost 600 home runs, but I didn't know what his OPS was. And his OPS was 926 for his career. But you have to factor in, he really played. He was really decaying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys hung on because they needed the money.
Yeah.
They just needed the $35,000 or the $38,000 that they were getting. So when you look at a career OPS of 926, you factor in he played until he was 40, and he really did. One season, his OPS was 620-something. I mean, imagine what it would have been if he didn't if he would have stepped aside a couple of years before that.
Yeah, has two statues, too, interestingly. One, obviously, in Baltimore,
yep.
Let's say with him as a player, but also 2 years ago when he was 81, the Cleveland Indians.
It's about time.
Yeah, I mean, unveiled a statue commemorating his career as the manager.
I'm not going to launch into a diatribe on the Indians now. It's not the time to do it when somebody passes, but what were you waiting for? He was the first black manager in the history of baseball.
You know, it's crazy.
It's not a new uncovering.
As I'm reading the history of this.
No.
He became the first African American manager in Major League Baseball history. On obviously he was hired in 1974,
mm-hmm.
but his first game was April 8th, 1975, which is the day after I was born.
Ah,
which is interesting.
And also a lot later, season doesn't start April 8th anymore. No. Think about that. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they had a couple of rainouts. Whatever.
Yeah, who knows?
But April 8th. And Tinky ventured into it. And Rondé was right. Rondé's older, right?
He's 7 minutes older.
So Rondé was your fullback.
Yes, he was.
Rondé was leading the way.
He
so,
did.
Mike, did you have any luck? I know I put you on the spot with that. Any audio from Frank Robinson post-game? Anything interesting?
No, but one little detail. I don't know. As I was looking it up, I'm not sure if you mentioned this earlier. But in his first game as manager, in his first at-bat as a player manager, he hit a home run.
I did not know that.
What?
Wow. So he was a player manager. And
I knew
hit a
that.
Home run in his first at bat.
He went, yo,
that's great.
What was he batting in the batting order? Was he still good enough to be in the 3 or the 4 hole? He's probably batting like 6 or something. Wow, he went yard. Was it at municipal? Now I'm just bombarding him with minutia. Was as it just continues to peck
that's
away?
That's cool history, though.
I didn't know that. That's incredible. Was it at Municipal Stadium, which was huge? I mean, it's a cavernous ballpark. You know, it's not like Jacobs Field or Progressive, you know, obviously Progressive now. Was it a home game?
Yeah, Cleveland Municipal, 56,000 people against the Yankees. Doc Medic.
Oh, Doc Medic, yeah. Pitch for the Texas Rangers.
It was a 2-2 fastball, low and away, and he ripped it over the left field wall.
Wow. Do you know where he was batting in the order? Where did he place himself? He had a bet. Come on, you got to be a little selfish there. Give yourself
a chance. He was a DH. I'll see if
runs.
I can find out where exactly he was hitting, but he was DHing that day.
You know, I'll look at this. There's Roto Sheet, which is a great geek website, and they have the batting orders as well. If you really want to really dive deeply and again into the minutia of a specific game, like a player's first game, or you know how Tom Seaver did in his first game, or Dwight Gooden in his first outing as a pro, whomever, you'll be able to trace that. I'll find that out maybe at some point before we get out of here. But wanted to give Frank Robinson some time. I know I kind of dominated that as the bigger baseball
good.
Fan in the room, but this
good.
Man was a special cat. Yeah, I want to make sure we did the right thing for him.
Yeah, man.
Cool, man. All right, coming up next, let's get back to hoops. We finish it up. You know, who won, who lost, and let's throw this out there with the upgrades that each of the, you know, teams in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference made, and we know who they are, excluding with all due respect the Pacers, who are now 4, but they'll drop, understandably, without Oladipo, and the Celtics should surge forward, theoretically. Could anybody in the Eastern, I know we've asked this before, but it's a different criteria, different equation now. Can anybody beat the Warriors? Has anybody juiced up enough to beat them? We'll have that conversation next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Oh, that's a good shot of Gotham. Get the bat signal right there. Woof. looking ominous out there. Like somebody's got to come save us. What's going on?
It did look
odd. Looked dark.
It did. Because it's not, I guess it's,
no, it shouldn't be that dark. Is it going to, do we have a storm coming in that I missed? There's no windows here. We just, no. We're locked in. I mean, the studio's beautiful.
Are we, I think,
yeah, it looks like the storms are coming.
Are we the only one without a window? Because Mike has a window.
Let's see.
Oh, Boomer and Gio don't have windows.
No, yet. They don't have one. When we started in the studio in January 2nd, 2013, it was so different. We had the windows.
Yes.
And then Gottlieb was in here, and he had his 1987 studio. And then he left, and we took over. They built it up, and it looks great, but no windows.
Yeah.
No windows. You gotta really go.
You really forget what time it is
and hunt to see what's happening.
Especially
outside.
Especially once the clock flips, and you're like, "Wait, is it bright? Is this still light outside?
Yeah.
Am I gonna go downstairs and see sun, or am I gonna go downstairs and be middle of the night?
No, it looks like it's the middle of the night. It looks like there's a storm coming here in New York and New Jersey. By the way, as we finish up with hoops here, time to get some calls. We certainly hit a few earlier. Some great reaction on Twitter, 855-212-4227. And as you and I strongly surmise, the buyout market. Now, and we'll get to the moves in the Eastern Conference heavyweights also.
Yep.
Enes Kanter just got bought, you know, just got waived by the Knicks. Mm-hmm. That's not a buyout, actually. That's just Wes Matthews got released as well. And you have to be bought out by March 1st to be eligible to play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So there are some teams out there, and there's some players that will be shaken loose that can really help some teams.
Yeah, and that's what the Lakers have to look at right now. It's kind of what who else needs a piece? There's a few teams, and it's interesting because like the Kings made the deal for Harrison Barnes, and I know they're pushing for the playoffs, and it's weird because you look at the Kings, and you know they're improved from where they've been, but you still say, all right, they're not going to – they have no chance of competing for a championship. But there's something commendable about that. There's something commendable about saying, well, we want to try at least. Because so many of these other teams, they just stopped trying.
Yes.
Right? Think about the Clippers. The Clippers started this season as the number one seed in the West. What was it, like 10 or 12 or maybe 15 games? They were the number one seed.
Oh, they were rolling.
They were rolling. Yeah. And it's like, man, the Clippers are going to surprise people.
We said it then. It wasn't going to last.
You knew it was some smoke and mirrors.
Uh-huh.
But it was also, well, maybe they'll get to the trade deadline and try to make a big move.
No,
right?
That's true.
And so maybe they're going to overachieve and they just need that one piece to become really viable.
Yeah, we'll do the opposite.
And now here we are, and it's not even the All-Star break. The trade deadline just happened.
Yeah.
They're hemorrhaging assets.
I know.
They're clearing cap space.
Well, they want Kawhi,
and they're racing to the bottom.
Yeah, they have their intel.
It's just, it's
like
just
the Knicks
odd.
Have their intel with Durant.
It's kind of frustrating. I can imagine being a fan, right, of teams like this that are literally riding a roller coaster in season. And, you know, for a minute you think, hey, we're all right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next minute, it's like, all right, who are we getting at number four, you know, in the draft?
Yeah. It's not a fun
– no.
It's not a fun dance.
No.
But I'll say this in defense of somebody like the Sacramento Kings, right? You look at, first of all, where they've been. Excluding this year, going backwards, right? 27-55, 32-50, 33-49, 29-53, 28-54, 28-54, 22-44, 24-58, 25-57, 17-65, 38-44 represents a good year. That was 2007.
Yeah.
I mean, so I do believe that there's value, and the Kings are on the short list of teams that need to continue to establish a culture of winning. Not ultimate winning. You've got to build incrementally toward that.
Yeah, of course.
But at least send them, you know, new arena. Get the fans to stay engaged.
Yeah.
Keep coming. Let's go.
That sounded like the Knicks of the Western Conference.
It pretty much is.
Seriously.
And they both whiffed on a ton of draft picks.
You're right.
Although some now are finally paying dividends for the Kings. They've made some decent moves.
Yeah,
but
good for the Kings is my point. My bigger point is good for the Kings. I'm glad that they're trying to make some moves that just make themselves a little bit better.
I love it. I mean, you know, the Kings are – it's been a long time. I mean, geez, 2007 is – what were you doing – where were you in 2000? You were NBC?
Just retired.
Had you signed with NBC yet?
If it was this point, no. Mm-hmm. If it was this point in the season, so 12 years ago, no.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. So I was still technically a football player.
Technically a football player. I hadn't even met Jen yet. I can't even really remember my life without Jen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just little flashes.
Yeah.
Some fun flashes. Just kidding. Playing golf 3 times a week. But I could vaguely recollect, you know, what my life was like without her. I hadn't even met her yet in 2007. Yeah. Crazy. All right, so the Eastern Conference teams, right? Let's look at this here. And we already asked the question, and maybe Mike could update the poll results here, with the Bucks with Mirotić, the Raptors bringing Marcus Gasol, Tobias Harris a couple of days ago for Philly upgrades, their starting five, really good shooter, 42-43% from downtown. Mm-hmm. He should spread the floor, going to help him out a lot. And the Celtics are five, but the the Celtics are three and Philly's five. And the Pacers are four, and they'll drop. You got to give some respect to the Nets for sure, mm-hmm. but they're still they get LeVert back. I just can't see the Nets doing enough to thrust themselves into the conversation. So we should probably cut it at four.
Yeah.
By the way, completely respect the Nets. I mean, what the Nets are doing it. The Nets are doing it the right way.
Right.
They really are. Yep. And if they get one of these big players in free agency, and they could, then the Nets will be significant players next year. But can any of these teams beat the Warriors? Because that's all that matters. What else matters?
Yeah. I'm trying to think scoring-wise. Really, to me, it becomes about these teams being able to defend the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of them could score along with them to an extent, and they would need, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 stops once you get into the fourth quarter to really best them in 7 games or 4 games, I should say, out of 7. And I'm thinking of the teams that could potentially do it. I don't think the 76ers can.
Boston. Now, let me throw this in as you go through this.
Yeah.
Don't you think I agree with you.
Because I'm thinking about size, particularly, who are you?
Who's guarding Durant?
Exactly. Yeah. Not stopping him, because that's impossible. But
who's going to make him work for 30?
Exactly. Who's going to disrupt him so that by game 3, he's like, damn, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, or maybe shoots 44% in the series instead of 52.
Yes.
No, I got you. Right. I mean, yeah, that's...
Philly can't do it.
They can't, but now let me flip it this way as we go through the possibilities. Do you think if the Sixers are clicking, because I agree with what you just said about mm-hmm. Philly, my initial response is no.
Yeah.
But if Philly's clicking and Tobias Harris has a seamless transition gelling period, who's going to stop... They're big man. Who's going to stop Joel Embiid?
Yeah, no, yeah.
On the Warriors,
you're right. But see, again, the Warriors can score with you, and so that's not. I'm not worried about teams scoring. I'm more about them stopping the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
So, and then maybe this is old school football mentality for me. Run the ball, do the fundamentals, play defense. So I start with defense, and so when I start with the defense, I look at the 76ers. I say they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the Celtics. I also think they can't do it.
Why? Same principle, same defense.
Who's big and body enough?
Jaylen Brown. You can throw Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They got some long bodies. Yeah, you can try to have Horford KD, muscle them up in some spurts.
KD will find his spot in the wings and just shoot over him.
Rozier, maybe bully Steph Curry.
But he shoots
smart.
But KD, I'm talking about KD, the guy who's going to be Finals MVP again, is just going to shoot. Is just going to shoot over them.
Okay.
Right? So, I can't see it with the Celtics.
Okay. I don't disagree, by the way. I'm just kind of having a conversation. Can you put the Greek Freak on Kevin Durant for 2 weeks?
I'm not there yet.
All right.
Because that's the one team that I think might be able to do it.
What about Kawhi Leonard?
I'm looking at Kawhi. Kawhi's an unbelievable defender.
Although not as good as he's been. His blow-by rate, as I said 2 weeks
ago,
it's not a good number compared to where he's been.
Kawhi is also, I know he's got a little long, thick arms, mm-hmm. but he's still 6'7".
Yep.
You know, so... Yep. I can't see it sustaining, and if it does, he'll sacrifice offensively, and they can't afford Kawhi Leonard to be sacrificed offensively.
Okay,
and then I look down. I don't think the Raptors can do it either. So the only team really is the Bucks, and that's a young, athletic freak,
mm-hmm.
and Giannis Antetokounmpo having to defend KD, harass him, yet stay equally productive offensively like he has been. It's the only team I can see doing it in the East is the Bucks. They got better with Mirotić, obviously, as we talked about.
Yeah.
Brogdon's a good player. Eric Bledsoe's having a career year out there. And Chris Middleton, who somehow they hung on to while making a couple of moves, is an X factor for them. So if there's one team, it's the Bucks, and I think they're proving that now. And plus, we love their coach,
mm-hmm.
Budenholzer.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think it happens? No, I think they win 2 out of 7. 2 out of 6.
I probably agree.
2 out of 6.
So you think the Warriors would win in 6?
Yeah.
4-2?
Yep.
I'd probably agree. I'd probably put the Bucks at the front of that. I don't know that this is even worth doing, but I mentioned like somebody like Enes Kanter.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the teams that have bigs and beat, and not totally different than Kanter. He can step out and drain it from 23, as we know.
Yeah.
And he's a superior defender, and Kanter's a terrible defensive player. But he is. He's tough as nails, but he's a great offensive rebounder, scores, can't play a lick of defense. But if you're thinking about trying to set up matchups and create mismatches against the Warriors, a team like the Raptors now with Marc Gasol and a team like the Sixers with Embiid, would it make sense for one of those teams to go out and try to get Enes Kanter and just throw two big bodies at him?
Maybe.
Like in waves.
Maybe. And offensively, it gives you increase your chances of second chance points, which is a big deal against the Warriors. Because if KD, who's, I don't know if he's the leading rebounder this year. I know last year he was. But if he's standing at the, you know, under the basket and he's bigger than all these guys, he's 7'1", gets these rebounds, he's either leading or initiating fast breaks that you can't get back on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, yeah, maybe on the offensive side, you know what I mean, to help you offensively.
It's unconventional because it goes against the direction of the sport.
Yes.
But if you want to throw a couple of little speed bumps in the Warriors' operation, I don't know. Maybe somebody's thinking differently here.
Somebody will think that. I think you're right.
Maybe.
Somebody will pick up Enes Kanter and say, we need you to crash the offensive boards, right? We know you're limited defensively. Mm-hmm. Crash the boards, either get putbacks or give us another opportunity to score.
I'll tell you, I might even take a team, not that they would win a championship or remotely really compete with the Warriors for a couple of weeks, but I mentioned the Brooklyn Nets before. If you throw Enes Kanter in the rotation, give them 18, 22 minutes a night, can they get to a spot where they can maybe not host the first round, because I don't think they'd get top four, but you know, get themselves maybe in a 4-5 matchup and maybe give them, they're six now.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a lot of dominoes that still have to fall here because there's good players being cut loose. Guys that could shoot, guys that are players, proven players in the NBA. That would really solidify a team's bench, no question.
Yeah, and by the way, Caris LeVert is expected to return tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I said tonight. He's coming back. Oh, I know. Which is a stunner compared to how when you had the visual when he went down. You thought it was like a Paul George compound fracture.
Dislocated.
Gone forever, you know, for a year and a year or whatever. I mean, that was good for him. All right, let's get the update from Rich Ackerman. We'll come back. Tiki and I have the blast for you. Read some tweets. Catch up on the Twitter poll. Ack, right now. Here he is. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. And I just saw a pretty interesting tweet. And Tiki and I spent a lot of time on the late, great Frank Robinson. Jason Stark tweeted this. I believe Jason's with The Athletic now. ESPN for a long time. And they cut him loose when they made all those changes, unfortunately. He landed on his feet, though, no surprise. He's a great baseball guy. He just tweeted this, Teak. He's trying to put him in the proper context as a player. And he wrote, how big of a force was the late, great Frank Robinson? He led the NL in slugging 3 years in a row, all right? And he did it at a time when Mays, Aaron, Ernie Banks, Willie McCovey, Cepeda, Matthews, Frank Howard, Clemente, and Musial were all in that league.
Wow.
And that's how he ended it. Wow. That paints a pretty good picture of how good he was.
Then.
It was pretty good. You ready for Blast Away here? We got a nice mixed bag. You ready to go?
Yep, let's hit it.
Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki. So after a video of Mahomes hooping it up goes viral, looked pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Got to the paint, a little crossover, a little bouncy, a little shifty.
Was able to keep his dribble through contact.
Yeah. Chiefs GM said that, quote, no more basketball for Patrick. We're able to nip that one in the bud, end quote. Although Richard Sherman kind of quote tweeted that and kind of laughed at them, but saying that's not going to happen unless it's in the contract. Either way, should Mahomes be allowed to hoop?
I'm going to say no.
He shouldn't be.
Patrick Mahomes is on his way to becoming the face of the NFL. You can almost say that now. As he's MVP, obviously, first year as a starter, just on the precipice of getting to the AFC, the Super Bowl. They will be back because their team is homegrown.
So you want them to stop hooping?
Don't stop hooping.
Oh, don't stop hooping.
No, stop hooping.
Oh, stop hooping.
Stop hooping. It's not worth it.
Well, good cardio workout.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. You know, I hear you. I'm kind of messing around. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. It's not worth it. But it is funny where, you know, I remember back in the day, I remember hearing this as a kid, like locally, WFAN, like the Giants, Phil Sims and Lawrence Taylor would come and play pickup against FAN hosts. I mean, nobody said anything then. They had an off day. The Giants, and I think they
were
the Jets, too.
They were different athletes.
Had an off-season team.
They were different athletes. Pat Mahomes
now they're
trying
pampered.
To dunk on people.
Yeah, I know. So the AAF, the Alliance, will use the Sky Judge to monitor the game and replay in real time and issue penalties. Should the NFL adopt this? Well, I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. I want to see how the mechanics of this goes.
Yeah.
If it's pretty seamless and the transfer of, you know, information is quick and it doesn't interrupt their viewing interest, why not?
Yeah. The Alliance had the Sky Judge in place prior to the NFC Championship game, which was obviously that most egregious non-call in the secondary, the pass interference. But this is also hearkening some of the rules from college football, whereas if you miss a helmet-to-helmet hit, there's a sky judge who can call down and issue a penalty. And so I think the NFL should adopt this. They have, over the years, picked up certain rules from other leagues, the two-point conversion, and we can never forget instant replay, which they kind of stole from the USFL.
Even
though, and Donald Trump tried to sue.
USFL.
And won and got $3.
I thought it was a dollar. Was it three? I thought it was a single dollar.
I think it was three.
Wow. Hey, listen, you got to make a buck, right?
Got to make a buck.
Oh, my God.
Even if it costs you $5 million.
$5 million, you got to make those $3 back. I want my $2. Forbes ranks the Knicks as the most valuable NBA franchise. Ready? Mm-hmm. At $4 billion. Outside of being a fan, which team would you buy if you could? So, Mike, when you say this, you mean not the teams we root for, obviously, right?
Pick the Knicks because you're a Knicks fan.
I would pick the Knicks because I would turn the Knicks around. I mean, being a fan is secondary. But I'll play ball with you. I won't – none of my teams. Yankees, Knicks, Jets, nothing. I'm going to say that I would want to go, number one, somewhere warm. So I'm thinking somewhere so I could just private in on the jet, play a little golf, hit the island, get the yacht rolling. I could never own the Dolphins. I can't stand them. I might get a piece of the Marlins, see what's going on with them.
Miami.
Yeah.
I think I'd pick the Nets.
Or the Padres, maybe. That would be a nice
location. I get to stay local. They're sixth on this list at $2.2 billion. There's room for growth. The team is getting better. It's New York, so you can monetize it. Give me the Nets.
Or, now Mike is saying in my ear he wanted to be an NBA team. All right. I will buy, who's the Knicks' biggest threat? Right now, it's the Warriors because they have Durant. I will buy the Warriors, and I will turn them back into the Warriors.
Nice.
What they were before this ridiculous run. So I'll ruin them. All right. Phillies and All-Star JT Realmuto, catcher. What, if anything, does this mean for their pursuit of Harper and Machado, who are still floating out there? Phillies are making some moves here. I mean, they got Nola, they got Arrieta, Arrieta, the pitcher. They've got Segura, shortstop was pretty good. They picked up Andrew McCutchen as well for 3 years, I think, like 30-something, $50 million, like decent money. I don't know if he could still play at that level, but I think the Phillies are on the cusp of doing something real here. Braves are good, Mets are better, Nationals are still pretty good. If they add one of those two, then they should be a playoff team if they're healthy.
Yeah, what does this do as it pertains to Harper and Machado? I don't think it necessarily excludes them. We know that the luxury tax threshold is $206 million. They're currently almost $48 million under that threshold. So there's still room should they want to sign one of these guys. I don't think it does anything for their pursuit.
But I think it might entice them to sign with Philly additionally.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you know, if anything,
in a good way.
Yes. Oh, you got a good catcher now.
Harper is now saying he wants to be on the West Coast.
Nothing wrong with the West Coast. I mean, I got to be honest with you. It's pretty damn nice out there.
They got to really want you.
And he's from the West Coast. He grew up in Nevada.
You got to get the dollars to go with the West Coast.
He'll get paid. I think. All right. How about this? Bob Stoops going to coach and GM the XFL's Dallas team. What's their nickname, Mike? Do we know the Dallas what?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
They haven't announced it, right?
They just announced the cities a couple months ago. They're not coming out until 2020.
This is the XFL. Remember when he did that? Do we see him making a return to the college game anytime soon or the NFL?
I don't think so. I mean, Bob Stoops walked away from the college game. How old is Bob? Is 60? He's almost 50. Almost 50. He's 68. 58. So do I see it happening? I don't see him going back to the college sidelines. I think this is an opportunity for him to be involved in football, but I say no.
Listen, why is he? I'm going to leave the door far more ajar than you do.
17 years in Oklahoma.
I understand that. You think he wants to really languish in the XFL with all due respect to the XFL?
I don't think he wants to languish in the XFL. Exactly. I think he's doing it for just to do it.
You don't think he wants to? If somebody calls him and makes him feel important again from a power conference that's been down for a while, he might not get that bug again? I think he might.
I think the trend is going the other way towards younger players, younger coaches.
We'll see.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
He's supposed to go 3-9 with the XFL Dallas team, and nobody wants him.
Yeah.
The XFL team in Dallas doesn't even want him.
You know what sucks?
He doesn't even
get to claim some of the more recent great successes. I know he can claim, like, the older successes, these quarterbacks. He had two college football playoffs berths.
Yeah.
And two Heisman Trophy winners the year right after he left.
Pretty incredible.
It's unreal.
And it's from an unconventional school in terms of quarterbacks putting them out there.
Agreed.
It's crazy.
And Baker Mayfield turned out to be a pretty damn good pro so far as well.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty good so far. I like what Baker said the other day. So, you know, Saquon winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year award. He's going to always hold that over my head. He's going to always have that up on me, and it's going to be motivation.
That's awesome.
I love that, though. I love that. If I'm a Browns fan, I love hearing that. Rather than saying, nah, you know, it doesn't bother me, it doesn't matter. It does matter. I mean, competitive people, especially people who get continuously slighted or shortchanged, as he has in the recruiting and, you know, all this as a walk-on, you don't forget that.
Right.
I think that's his oxygen. He's out to prove us all wrong.
You're right. What happens when he, like, wins a Super Bowl and an MVP and he has nobody else to prove wrong?
He ain't winning the MVP anytime soon if Mahomes is in. Healthy. That's why Patty better stop playing hoops.
That's right.
You know? Let's see. You know what I wanted to say? Did you see the story last night? It's on CBSSports.com. Rocco Mediate.
Uh-huh.
Of course, the great finals with the extra session at the Open with Tiger Woods back in 08 when Tiger was playing on one wheel. Admitted to drinking alcohol during competitive rounds.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he said he was a real... real alcoholic. I mean, he's
during a round.
During many rounds, yeah. Obviously, I played while I was drinking. This is what he told to the Golf Channel.
That's crazy.
It was just normal for me. It was just a daily ritual, let's say. You can put it in a lot of different places. A lot of places. Now, was it every time? No, but most of the time, when the pain came in, it wasn't not going to happen. And then Tiger Woods, because he had a back issue similar to Tiger, now I'm going to paraphrase, but it's very interesting read. CBSSports.com if you want to check it out. He said that, you know, now I can kind of understand why Tiger Woods crossed up on meds and got pulled over. Not saying here's a license to drive, you know, hammered or high.
But this was an alcohol issue that was the genesis of which
from
from his back injury.
Trying to mask it. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I could see guys playing high. Mm-hmm. I could see functionally playing golf high. Somewhat high. I mean, not ridiculously stoned, were you?
Yeah.
But drinking, I would think, would have a different effect.
Yeah, it's such
an adverse effect.
It's such a depressant, and it's like,
right?
It just makes you seize. I hear you, man.
Well, let's be honest. You know, having one does loosen the first tee jitters. It does when people are watching.
But we're not getting paid for it.
No, I hear you. Yes. I hear you.
Yes, I know you probably heard this all throughout the day already, but Kyler Murray is officially going to attend the NFL Combine, which we speculated about.
Yep.
We didn't ask him at the Super Bowl. We kind of told him that he was.
Yeah, he didn't deny it, so we knew he was going.
So he didn't deny it, so we knew he was going.
Where do you think he gets drafted? Does he go 1-7?
I do, actually. I do.
Yeah, to think about that a little bit. I don't have any pause.
Yeah.
I think absolutely for sure. He's going top
especially
3.
Because he's going to the Combine, which means he's committed to football.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to have these interviews. They're going to see what kind of guy he is. He's a great kid. And they're going to be surprised that he's not 5'8". He's 5'10". And can probably play the game at that level.
Mike just said in my ear, top 3 rounds or top 3 picks. I think he's going top 3, top 5 pick. Not rounds.
Before Haskins, before Jones, before all the other quarterbacks.
I think teams are trading up. Yeah. Before Jones, yeah. And I like Jones. I think Kyler Murray's going high.
The NFL is really intrigued by these offenses. Mm-hmm. They really, and it's a copycat league.
It is. Oh, I just put my sweater back on. Nice. Show today. A lot of moves. Tomorrow's a Friday. We'll catch you then. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.